Good morning. It's good to see you. Let's stand. We'll wake up this morning and sing about the victory we have in Jesus. Let's put our hands together. Come on. Sing it.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. My Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Punch me to victory, redeemed with cleansing blood.
Heard about his healing.
Walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me.
Of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Sought me and bought me. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is through him. Plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Sing it, get over it.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me in his redeeming blood.
Turn our eyes to Calvary.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
Let's praise the name of the Lord. Sing it.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord our God. And on the third and break of dawn, the sun of heaven rose again.
Come on.
Oh, trample dead, where is Your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King.
Oh, praise the name.
Jesus.
We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him despised the shame, endured the cross, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne on high. Jesus alone is exalted. Jesus alone has power to save. There is redemption and fullness and wholeness in His name. So let's lift our voices and exalt the name of Jesus. Sing it.
Oh, praise the King.
Sing the name of the Lord our God.
Nothing can compare.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, John. Oh, we come to adore him today. Well, I want to say to you, thank you. What faithfulness this church has shown in giving throughout these last 6-8 weeks. You have just gone over and above. Matter of fact, I told some of our leaders, let's just call off church for the rest of the year. They give better at home than they do when they come. But you've been really faithful, and so thank you for doing that. And I want to encourage you that are online, so many of you, about 40% of what we've been receiving has been coming online, others bringing it by, dropping it off. And then today, the ushers will go in those X rows, and they'll handle the plate. You don't have to touch it, and they'll be there just to take your offering or that guest registration card from us today. And so you let us know who you are. Welcome. Glad that you are here. Sam Schwanke, I want you to come use this mic right here and pray over our offering today. Grateful for Sam and all that he does in helping us reach out into our community. And as he's preparing to do just that, now listen to me. Don't miss next Sunday. It's Pentecost Sunday. I know this is Memorial Day weekend, a lot of stuff going on, people go, but don't miss next week online or right here, Pentecost Sunday, and we'll be unveiling our summer plan. Sam's going to be a big part of that and what we're going to be doing. We're meeting this Tuesday, leadership, Thursday with deacons, and getting all of our plans ready to roll out next Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the month, and getting ready for June and July as we walk through the summer. What we're going to do with small groups, what we're going to do with Vacation Bible School, what we're going to do with camps, all of those things, we're going to lay all of that out next week, and you be ready to be here and launch the summer here at Olive, and it's going to be a great, great time. We'll tell you about all of that. So don't miss next week. But for right now, I want us to pray, give our offering unto the Lord, hear the music, and then open the Word of God to Mark's Gospel and see what the Lord would speak to us this day. Sam, pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that we can just come and behold our God this morning. Thank you that your name is great and it's worthy of praise and glory. I pray that you'll just help us to do that all the days of our life and this morning. And thank you for just a way where we can give back to you how you've blessed us so much. Thank you for our church, and thank you that we can just behold your name today. We love you, Lord, and we're so thankful for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Somebody ought to say amen after that. Yeah, thank you, John. And a choir of 10, I counted them up here. Amen. So that's great. Thank you. Take your Bible this morning and go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. We're preaching about the life of Peter last week, this week, and then next Sunday we'll look at Pentecost and Peter and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you'll want to be here on that fifth Sunday. Now, just before we open the Word, this is Memorial Day weekend, and we dare not forget. So I want us to take a moment and remember those that have given that price for us. I don't know about you, I've done a lot of reading, a little more than normal during this shutdown, and then I've been watching a movie or two. As a matter of fact, this weekend you can't watch anything that's war-related. I mean, it's just there. And Sergeant York was on yesterday. I watched the last 10, 15 minutes of Sergeant York, and that great Tennessean that served, grateful for him. Dunkirk. I watched Dunkirk several nights ago and saw that massive movement of people from France, Churchill. Well, many people have paid a price. If they had not paid that price, you wouldn't be sitting in freedom where you are today. and we're grateful. We need to remember. And I've asked Lieutenant Commander David King to come and just pray over America today. And as he prays, you pray. Be thankful for your nation today. We think we're in a tough time right now. Those of you that remember 42 and 43, 44, this is a piece of picnic cake compared to walking through those war days. David, thank you for your service, my friend. You lead us as we pray together.
I'm reminded as we think about Memorial Day of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. For all those who have died for our country, for the freedoms that we have, it all goes back to Jesus. He's the one who died for us. The verse John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what we do. The guys in my industry, my profession, we serve every day so that you guys can sit right here and praise the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thanks for this day. Thanks for this opportunity, the freedom to come in here and praise your name and love you. Lord, I pray for the men and women who have died for the ability to give us this freedom. I pray for their families who still struggle with the dad and the son who didn't, or the daughter or the wife who didn't come home. Lord, I pray for the men and women who are around the world right now serving on ships, on entry control points around the world, who right now are carrying a weapon, are defending our democracy around the world. And I pray for them and their families. And I pray that they all get to come home, Lord. And I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to praise your name, in this heavenly name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Grateful for those that are down on the Warrington campus today. Many of those have and are serving, and delighted that they're a part of this service today, regathered. Man, they gathered down there last Sunday almost at the same number they've been having before we took the break. And grateful to God for our Warrington people. If you're on that Warrington campus, you just say amen down there. Amen. Yes, sir. And those of us here love you and grateful to God you're a part of us this day. We're in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. We come to look today at a message I've entitled, The Path to Denial, the steps Peter took that led him to deny his Lord. They've just had the Lord's Supper. They're about to go out, and we read the Word of God in Mark 14, verse 26. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that this very night before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times. But Peter kept insistently. He was saying, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they were all saying the same thing also. For the last 20 to 25 years, alarm bells have been going off in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Bible-based evangelical churches that preach the Bible as we preach it. We don't agree on every jot and every tittle, but we believe in the Lordship of Christ, His vicarious death and His victorious resurrection, that He's coming again. In that church, alarm bells have been going off about the increased percentage of young people raised in our churches, saved in our churches, baptized in our churches, serving in our churches, that when they go out to college and marriage and grow into young adulthood, that a greater percentage are slipping away and denying the faith. Some going to Christian schools, some coming to Sunday school. It matters not. We see that percentage. It's rising, and the alarm bells go off. What are we doing? What's happening? That this number is sliding away, as Peter did in denying the Lord. Many of them say, well, I just don't like the church. I still like Jesus. Well, I said three times last Sunday, if you love Jesus, you love His church. They slip away from His church. They slip away from obedience to Him. Peter gives us a warning. Take caution this morning, my friend. Now, this sermon is very short, but the introduction is very long. So hang with me this morning, all right? What I want to share with you is succinct, pretty just concise. But before I get to that, I want to lay out the pathway. So I want to give you five things in this introduction, these five steps that led to Peter's denial, and then call us all together to commitment. On that Warrington campus, I'm going to call people to come to faith in Jesus Christ, to come join the church. I'm going to ask you in this body, right here in this room, to come right to this black table that's here. I'll be standing there. You come by. You talk to us about your confession. Come joining this church today. We had two great families join the church last night. One little girl come make a profession of faith last night on a Saturday night. And you could come and do that. But I want us to look at this pathway, these five steps that led Peter to denial, and just say, take caution. Let the warning bells ring. What led Peter to deny his Lord? Five things. Number one, overconfidence. Overconfidence in his own flesh. You see, he said twice, if everybody else falls away, not me. Even if I have to die, he kept insistently saying in verse 31, I will not deny. Even if they kill me, I won't do it. But you know that he did. Dear friend, be very careful. Understand that the flesh will fail you. You get confident in your flesh, you're going to fall away. You got to be spirit empowered from the inside out, not from the outside in, is the way you live this Christian life. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, listen to this. The Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, coming to the end, that some will fall away from the faith, paying attention. Here it is, deceitful spirits. When you are deceived, these deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of your own hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. You begin to think so much of yourself that you fall away. Friend, the flesh will fail you. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3, for we are true of the true circumcision who worship the Spirit of God and glory in Christ, and we put no confidence in the flesh. You begin to say, bless God. Not me. I'll stand when the world's up. Well, be very careful that you're not getting puffed up in your own self-reliance. The old Koheleth said it best, Proverbs 3:26. What a great verse. For the Lord will be your confidence. Amen. Not the flesh. And if He's your confidence, He'll keep your foot from being caught. That you will walk with Him. I see people, they get swelled up full of themselves, and they get their feelings hurt in church, and their old lip begins to get so long and out and down, they trip over their own lip trying to walk out of church. They say, well, bless God, I'll just quit. I'll just go. Well, listen, friend, we don't want you going anywhere. We don't, but it's not about you. You just like that crowd last night. It's not about you. Thank you. Amen. I get a witness or two in this place. It's not about me. It's not about. It's about the Master. Amen. And we begin to put confidence and say, well, we can. No. He that exalts himself, Jesus said, is going to come tumbling down. It's he that humbles himself that will be raised up in due season. Amen. What led Peter? Step number one, overconfidence. Step number two, don't miss it, is his prayerlessness. You see in verses 37, you follow along, still got your Bible open at 14th chapter. You see that Jesus took Peter, James, and John, they went out a ways to pray, and three times Jesus came back to them. In verse 37, he came, found them sleeping. He said, Peter, you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. Verse 38 is the warning. Pray. Friends, you ought to pray. We ought to have more time to pray during this pandemic, lockdown, lockup, whatever you want to call it. I've had more time to walk around my little pond over there in the swing and pray. But if you're not careful, you'll just get to doing other stuff. If you'd pray as much as you watch the Game Show Network, you'd have revival. And if you'd pray more than, God help you if you've been watching the news. I mean, that'll just suck you into a hole. You'll be mad at yourself after you watch 30 minutes of that. I just turn that off. Ain't no good news coming out of that. It doesn't matter which channel you get on. I'm just telling you, you ought to be seeking the Lord in prayer. You say, how in the world did you do that? Well, keep a journal. I encourage people. Just keep a journal. Write down. You say, how do I pray? I go back to how I learned to pray. A-C-T-S. The word Acts, just like the book of Acts. A-C-T-S. Just do it that way. Adoration is the A. Confession is the C. Thanksgiving is the T. Supplication is the S. Just pray through that every day. It's one good way to learn to pray. Just adore the Lord. Just bless his holy name. Adore him. Confession. You say, well, I don't know my sin. Guess at it. You'll get close. Amen. Yeah, just say, Lord, put your finger on my, and confess. Then be thankful. Just lay thanksgiving before the Lord. And then in supplication, just lay your needs out. Say, oh, God, this is our need. Listen to me. Prayer is like a missile launched toward heaven, and when it reaches the throne of grace, God redirects it to the need for which it is intended. Send your prayer like a missile to the throne of grace, and when it reaches the throne, Jesus sends the aid where it is needed. One of our dear deacons is standing by the bedside of his wife, and if God doesn't do a miracle, that lady will not make it today. And she is but 60 years old. I prayed with him last night. God woke me up. I got up and prayed for him at 1:30 this morning. Then just before I came to church, I got a text and I called. And I said, can I call? And we cried out to the Lord together. We sent a missile to the throne of grace. Oh, God, go and be the healer. And I prayed this, Lord, whether we live or whether we die, let us be pleasing unto you. We will not deny our faith. We will not leave. We will trust you every step of the way. Friend, when you begin to be prayerless, you'll find yourself sliding away. Overconfidence, prayerlessness. Number three, not listening to Jesus. Now, when you stop listening to Jesus, friend, you're going to begin to deny. So where do you get that? Well, in verse 47, look at it. You know the story. Jesus is out there. Judas come kiss him on the cheek. And here come the soldiers. And as they come, verse 47 says, but one of those who stood by drew a sword and struck the slave of the high priest. Boom! He cut off his ear. We learn from John's Gospel, chapter 18, that was Peter, and we learn the name of the guy that he cut his ear off. His name is Malchus. And when Peter drew the sword, cut off his ear, Jesus said, stop it. He had not called them to war, he had called them to peace. He had not called them to their own strength, he had called them to God's sovereignty. And friend, when you stop listening to Jesus, You'll move into areas of trying to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. You see old Peter? He pulled out that dagger. It must have been sharp. Cut a guy's ear off. I have bad ears. I have one bad ear. I don't mean I can't hear. I mean it just looks bad. I have one nice ear. As pretty as ears can be. This one stays nice and close. But this ear over here, I slept on it as a baby all the time. My mother said I'd sleep on it and it'd be down. And she'd tape it to my head when I was a baby in the bed. And she said I'd come back in, it'd still be down. And it caused it to flare out to the right. And I'm telling you, if Peter wanted to cut off my ear, he'd have no trouble. Man, that blade would go in there easy. He'd have trouble on this side, but not on this side. I call it my wide right Florida State ear. Those of you that remember Florida State football a long time ago, they used to kick wide right, and I'd call it that, and people get mad at me. I used that illustration last night, and a family came, and two of the people that joined the church had on Florida State shirts. I thought, well, God must have been in that. Amen. And for an Alabama fan to talk about kickers, well, you know, we have nothing to say. Well, my ear's hanging out there, and Peter said, boom! And Jesus said, no! See, sometimes we just say, I know best. No, you don't know best. Jesus knows best. That's why you need to find what he says in this book and live that way. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. This is where we must live. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make an apologia to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness. Look at it, gentleness and reverence. Wasn't it gentleness and reverence in Peter? That apologia is the defense, that's apologetics, that's what we must teach our precious young people today. We must teach to them how to come to be an apologist of the Word of God. These last few days, one of the greatest apologists the church has ever known died, Ravi Zacharias. God lets me, Friday I'm going to listen to his funeral. It's going to be broadcast live on the internet. I want to hear what they say about Ravi Zacharias. That man who at 17 tried to kill himself and on his suicidal deathbed, God raised him up and saved his soul and gave him a mind like a steel trap until he was 74. He traveled the earth. Having been born in India, living then in Canada, where he found the Lord, and he became a prophet to the world of helping people to understand the apologia, defending the faith. And dear friend, when you stop believing what Jesus says, you're sliding toward denial. You get overconfident, you become prayerless, you're not listening to Jesus. Number four, associating with wrong people. This is the fourth step that leads us to that. In verse 54, we find Peter, he's going after the ear's been healed. Remember, Jesus healed the ear and put it right back. And then when they came to arrest him, he followed after him. And when you get into the Word of God in verse 53, they led Jesus away to the high priest and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together in verse 54. Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting among the officers warming himself at the fire. There he sat with false politicians and false religionists. And he warmed him. Friend, when you begin to warm yourself at the fires of the world, you're going to deny the Lord Jesus. When our young people start hanging out with the wrong folks, 1 Corinthians 15:33 is still the truth. Don't be deceived, friend. Don't be deceived. Bad company still corrupts good morals. You grow up and go out, and you begin to hang out with the wrong crowd, I'm telling you, they will suck you into a vortex of unbelief. Yes, they will. Well, I see them. They've been drunk a day in their life, and they begin to drink a little alcohol. They say, I can quit anytime I want to. Really? Then they begin to smoke a little weed. I'd never smell that till I got to college. I bought a car that I didn't know, but a guy had been smoking marijuana in it for 2 or 3 years. I bought that car. I said, sure smells sweet in here. I didn't know what that was. Had a friend got in with me, and he said, I thought you was a Christian. I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, you've been smoking. I said, no. He said, I mean, you've been smoking weed. I said, no. He said, well, your car's full of it. I said, well, I didn't know. I was playing junior college basketball. I've never been very big, but I've had a big heart. I just thought I could. I was with a group of guys, mostly from Kentucky. We played in North Alabama, and I went over to Freddie Whittemore's apartment one night. They had one blue light bulb. That's all I had. It was a blue light bulb. I walked in that room. I thought, well, it's a weird-looking place. And I could smell that sweet smell again. And then they handed me a pint fruit jar. Everybody had a pint fruit jar, and they were drinking liquor out of that pint fruit jar. And they handed me one, said, here you. I said, I don't need that. They said, yeah, take one. One of my buddies had taken me there that night. He's 6'4". I reached up and got him by the collar, and I pulled him right down here where I was. I said, you are about to take me home. I'm leaving here. He said, you ready to go? I said, yes, sir, we're leaving right now. We went out and got in my car and I left. I didn't make any friends that night, but I wasn't there to make friends. Friend, the best friend you got's Jesus. That's the best friend you can have. It may cost you some friends in this world, but when this world's on fire, you're going to want to know the friend that's the best friend, not the friends that'll lead you to drink liquor out of a pint fruit jar. Here I am. Years later, you go back there, and I'm going to a reunion of that crowd before long. When we get back together, I guarantee you they're going to look at you, and they're going to say, you still living for Jesus? Yes, sir. Amen. When you begin to hang with the wrong crowd and let the wrong... Now, I'm telling you, you've got to know them. That's the only way you do evangelism. But when they begin to influence you, you're on the way to the... Now, you need a church. You need a class. You need a companion. Amen. Everybody needs a church. You ought to be a part of that. You need a class to be in, a small group to encourage you, and you need a companion. I don't mean a wife or a husband. I'm talking about a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When you have that, it'll lead you down the way. Overconfidence, prayerlessness, not listening to Jesus, hanging out with the wrong crowd, associating with the wrong people, and then number five, reverting to old habits. When you begin to revert to old habits, that's what happened to Peter. In verse 71, the Bible says, he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man you're talking about. He began to go back to that old fisherman's language. He began to go back to that fisherman's lifestyle. He began to run back to the old way. And friend, when you revert to your old lifestyle, you're about to deny the Lord. He began to say things that he hadn't said in a long time. But now he was taking the Lord's name in vain again. I was on Facebook this morning just whistling through for a minute before I came over here, and somebody had posted, can you love Jesus and just cuss a little? I posted this verse. I don't even know who the person was. I just said, read Mark 14, 71, 72. It didn't pay out. Plan out too well for Peter. It ain't gonna help you. When you began to go back to your... Now be careful. Just I want to show you three verses. I want you to look up on the screen. You're there in the Warrington campus. You'll see these. They'll pop up on the screen. Let's look at them together right quick. Then I want to give you three words this morning before we come to invitation time. 1 John 2:22 and 23. Look at this. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Now, friend, when you deny Jesus, you've lied to yourself. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, and the one who confesses the Son has the Father. Caution, don't deny Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. False prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon you. Be very careful that those people that don't rise up among you begin to deny the master. And then 2 Timothy 2, oh my goodness, verses 12 and 13, what a powerful word here of warning. We endure, we all also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, glory to God, can somebody say amen? He will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You may deny him, but he'll never deny himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a faithful Savior. That's who we serve today. Don't dare turn your back on him. And the Bible says that the rooster crowed and Peter began to weep. Don't miss these three words today. I want you to see these three words with me. Say them out loud, wouldn't you? Here we go. Surrender, Scripture, surface. Say them out loud with me, like you mean it, like you're almost awake. Surrender, Scripture, service. Now say it like your team's about to win. Here we go. That's pretty good for an early church. Amen. Now I want you to remember these three words. If you want to stay the course and not deny him, put these three words in your soul. Number one, surrender. Surrender is what Peter did when he wept. Friend, you ought to be thankful for any rooster that snaps you back to reality. Anything that happens, you go, whoa! Now, Peter's walking in his own self, and he thinks he's still good, and all of a sudden he hears that cock-a-doodle-doo. I tried to get them to get the rooster that they play at South Carolina's football stadium and blast that in here this morning. I was afraid somebody'd have a heart attack, so we didn't do it. But he hears that rooster. I have a circle over there in the little cul-de-sac where I live, or the circles around in our neighborhood, and I walk that every morning just about. There's a family that's got some new animals. They've got billy goats. They got a bunch of little goats, and boy, they're just in the morning, they're getting after it. But then there's one family that's got chickens. I'll walk around there, and every time I hear that rooster take off, I say, oh, Lord, Lord, don't let me deny you today. That rooster still crows and cries, and I come in surrender. You ought to come in surrender. Blessed are they that mourn. Amen. That's the one's going to be comforted. He began to weep. I weep the loudest when I fail the deepest. When's the last time you cried over your sin? I don't mean somebody else's. When's the last time you wept over your sin? And Peter began to weep. He came in full surrender. And I'm not talking about commitment or recommitment. I'm talking about surrender of your life to Christ as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, all of all, that you say, Father, I follow you no matter what. Amen. That's what we need in the church today. People walk in with him in surrender. Secondly, Scripture. Scripture. Hear me. This book, hallelujah, this book will anchor your soul. You've had time to do 1,000 things in this pandemic lockdown. Have you spent some extra time reading this book? I don't know why, but I have just been tied to 1 Timothy 6. I've just been reading the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy over and over and over and over. And it talks in that passage about the love of money being the root of all evil. And it says, hey, man of God, anyone that is given to the love of money, it will lead him to denial. I'd never seen it. This morning I was reading. I said, Lord, there it is. If money begins to grab you, it'll lead your heart. You ought to get anchored to this book. You ought to read this book. I mean every day, read it morning, noon, night, get in the book. Old Ravi Zacharias, we talked about, died. I've read a lot of Ravi's stuff, been reading some more of it since he died. I had never heard his story of how he gave his ministry to his successor till this week. They were on the island of Cyprus at the grave of Lazarus. I don't mean his first grave, his second grave. You know, Lazarus died once, they buried him, Jesus raised him from the dead. But then he had to die again.
And tradition says he was buried in Cyprus. And Ravi and the young man he was mentoring to give the ministry to, he said, as we stood at the grave of Lazarus, I read the inscription on the tombstone of Lazarus, and this is what it said. Lazarus, dead 4 days, friend of Jesus Christ. And Ravi Zacharias said, if that's good enough for Lazarus, it's good enough for me. I just want to be known as a friend of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. That's what we all ought to be. What a friend we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. Lazarus, dead 4 days. Man, I tell you what, if I'd have been in the grave 4 days and Jesus raised me up, you ought to see my tombstone. I'd have had that all over that. They'd have carved that till it had to have been this tall to carve everything I want to say. Not Lazarus. He knew that the blessed Lord was just friend of Jesus. That's enough. That's enough. Scripture. Surrender. And thirdly, service. Let me tell you, if you stay busy for Jesus after you've surrendered, if you stay busy after you're in the Word, I'm telling you, it will keep your heart tied to King Jesus. Now, just staying busy won't do it. You must begin in the right order. Surrender, Scripture, and then get your hands dirty. Stay busy for Jesus. Listen to me, church. Next Sunday's the fifth Sunday. I need you to bring food. I need you to bring food like you've never brought food before. We're getting ready to have another food drive. We're going to do this one down on the Warrington campus. You down there say, bring food. Amen. They're going to do it. And we're going to do it on the Warrington campus and at Pensacola High School. Sam's going to help us with some of that. Some of our interns, Sean's been working hard to get that done. We need you to bring food next Sunday like you never brought it, because in the month of June, we're going to take that food and have a food drive and give away to hurting people. We had 1,200 people lined up on this campus. We've got a food pantry out here. Tom and his class, 432, did a great job in helping paint that new pantry and get it done. That class did the work. We got it painted, ready, and it's about a third full. It needs to be jammed full again. We've been giving away food. I need you to help us. Bring food. You need to find a place to serve. As we lay out the new plan, we're going to begin to do some things with preschoolers. We've got the cry room over here. Some people are helping with preschool. You're going to have some help with preschool. You're going to need some. I've got a favorite preschooler in this church. Amen. And she eats at my house a lot. This is my favorite preschooler. I love her with all my heart. There she is right there. And that's my youngest granddaughter. And I love Elizabeth. And Mother's Day. I'd never been out to eat on Mother's Day in all my life. Never. I'm always in church. But this Mother's Day, we didn't have church, and so I took the whole family out. And Elizabeth, she got French toast and bacon. And as the Lord's Supper said, she ate all of it. I said, can I have some? I said, I paid for it. Can I have some? She said, uh-uh. No. And then she picked up a piece of bacon. She said, you can have a little bacon. I love that little girl. She's precious to me, but all of our children are precious to us. We're going to have to do some things this summer we've never done before. We're going to have to do children's ministry in a different way than we've ever done it, in VBS and camp and Backyard Bible Club and all that. We're going to lay that out to you next week. But I need you to get busy. I need your hands to be a part of that. Will you do it? Amen. You get your hands dirty? I'm telling you, that's the service that we must do. Thank God for this class that helped us get that food pantry ready to go. The Cacciatore family, he and his wife lead that department. And grateful to God for them. Many working today. You just need to find a place and get busy. Say those words again. Surrender. Scripture, service. One more time.
Surrender, scripture, service.
All right, you be quiet in this building. Now, down there at Warrington, say it out loud. I mean, say those words out loud. Here we go. Did you do it? Say amen. Hey, I guarantee you they did. Because their pastor told them to. That's why they did it. Amen. Grateful to God for those people on that campus. Listen to me this morning. John's going to come and begin to play. And when he plays this song, and I want you to take a moment and think about your own soul. If you're online today and you've never trusted Jesus, I want you to pray and ask him to save you. And when you do, I want you to text on your phone to 94,000, that word Savior, 94,000, and then in the message line, save. You can do that right here in this room if you want to trust the Lord today. You want to join this church, put that in there. We'll call you. We'll get in touch with you. We'll send you some email. You can do that online this morning. You can just go there in the chat line, and some people will be there talking with you and helping you, or you can do it at the 94,000 Savior. And then after this service, in this particular room, I'm going to stand right here at this table. You come by, and we'll help you, want to encourage you. Say, preacher, I've been here, been a member all these years. Well, just come by. Give me one of these. All right? Amen. That'll be fine when you walk out of here today. I'm just so glad to see you. I mean, I really am just grateful to God to see all of you in this place. What's that first word? Surrender. John, start singing that little song for us. Would you just bow your head while John sings?
Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Now your heads are bowed, eyes closed. John's just playing through that song. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, in this room, do it right now. Online, do it. At Warrington, do it. Just say, Lord, I give you my life. If you're a Christian, you're coming home to him. Just surrender yourself to him anew and afresh today. Say, I need a church. Then just tell him, Lord, I want to be a part of Olive today. Then let us know that. We want to help you to be a part.